My message this morning is an exhortation. I want to encourage all of us to do something. Our text here is 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May God enable us to do these things. Rejoice evermore. What does it mean to rejoice? Be happy. Be glad. Be full of joy. Be cheerful. Why should we be this way? Why ought we rejoice? We have every reason to rejoice. I mean, we have every reason to rejoice. We're blessed of God. We have heard the joyful noise. Our pastor just said something about the light that the power company knows nothing about. God has given us that light. We have a place where we can come every single week to hear about the light, to see the light, for the light to shine in our hearts. God has done something for us that He has not done for everyone. God has saved us. God has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God's done that for us. How can we not rejoice? I mean, how can we not rejoice? We ought to be the happiest people in this earth at all times. Now, sad to say, we're not. How often we're not happy, how often we find ourselves in a miserable state. But that's why we need to be exhorted. That's why we need to be reminded. Our pastor just brought a couple messages over the past week, things that are verses that are very familiar to us, but that we need to be reminded of all the time. And that's the same way for these verses we're looking at today. Rejoice. Rejoice evermore. I want to give us a few things to rejoice in. Turn with me to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. What shall we rejoice in? God's salvation. We get downcast. Remember what David said? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, may we rejoice in God's salvation. Don't you love to come here and just hear these words? It is finished. You are complete in him. What a reason to rejoice. Turn over a few pages to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. We worship a God who delights in mercy, the God of mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I will have mercy. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. He said, I will have mercy. Rejoice. Oh, brethren, rejoice in the mercy of our God. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 17. And the 70, these are 70 disciples, messengers that the Lord sent out. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were so excited that the Lord had given them power to cast out devils. All right. Verse 18, and he said unto them, the Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't rejoice in that. They got carried away with that. Here's what they need. Here's what we're to rejoice in. All right. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our names are written in heaven, written in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. They've been there forever. You talk about a reason to rejoice. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Just before Thessalonians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1. Paul said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. What are we to rejoice in? Rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We don't rejoice in ourselves. By God's grace, we don't have all this confidence and hope in ourselves. Our hope is in Him. And this ought to sum up our rejoicing right here. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Oh, I pray God will enable everyone here to rejoice in Him. How often? How often should we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ? Look down at Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And again I say, rejoice. I pray God would teach me this. You know, things happen. Just heard about a brother going through something very difficult, and we all have times of trouble. But in our times of trouble especially, if God would just let us rejoice in Christ Jesus. Before I complain, I need to remember, God hath dealt bountifully with me. We just read that. How has God dealt with you? According to your sins? No. Well, what's the matter? He hath dealt bountifully with us, brethren. I don't know how your week has gone. It's been kind of a crazy week for myself, but all I can say is praise God. Praise God. Whatever has taken place for you, I urge you to rejoice in the Lord. God help us to rejoice no matter what. He has done exceeding abundantly above all that I could possibly ever ask or think. He hath done all things well. He performeth all things for me. All things are for our sakes. What was that you're upset about again? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 8. If we're not there right now, at some point in our life, I know this is how we're going to feel. Second Corinthians 4, verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Look down at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our pastor just preached on this a week or two ago. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Run our race, looking to our hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just heard this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't know about you, but that makes me rejoice like nothing else. Rejoice. Every morning, we ought to wake up rejoicing in our God. This is the day which the Lord hath made, whether we have light in here or not. We have Christ the light. Let us rejoice and be glad in Him. Look back in our text, 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. What does it mean to pray? Prayer can't be explained. It must be experienced. Just like you find yourself believing. Isn't that how it was for you? You find yourself believing God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're His, we find ourselves praying. See, prayer is pouring out our heart to God. Pouring out your heart. You see, prayer is not from the mouth. Our Lord said concerning religious Pharisees, He said, they honor me with their lips. They're praying outwardly, but where's their heart? It's far from me. Prayer is from the heart. Prayer is intimate. Prayer is private. We pray here in public, but when it comes to God's people, that's private. Seriously, that's private. Prayer is intimate, private conversation with God. That's how we communicate with Him. And I rejoice to know that our Lord prays for us. He prays for us. But prayer is not to be taken lightly. Religion takes it so lightly. I don't want to take it lightly. I don't want to take it lightly. In prayer, I mentioned you find yourself praying. Here's how prayer happens. Prayer is born out of a need. No one ever prayed who didn't have a need. You recall in Luke chapter 18, it said two men went up into a temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee. And here's what it says about him. It says the Pharisee stood and thus prayed with himself. He said, God, I thank Thee that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican. I'm not like him. That's not prayer. And I'm glad it tells us he prayed with himself. It was no prayer at all. And then we're told that that publican, that Pharisee, he stood right there in the middle of the room for everyone to see. And then that publican, here I can just see him standing afar off, hiding in the corner. It says he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He was ashamed. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see the difference? That's prayer. That man's prayer was born out of a need. He was a sinner. The Pharisee would say, yep, look at him, he's a sinner. You remember Simon the Pharisee, he had the Lord over for dinner, and this woman, which was a sinner, was in his house. And he said, don't you know this woman is a sinner? And here's our reason for rejoicing. He's the friend of sinners. He put sinners' sins away. Prayer is born out of a need. That Syrophoenician woman, what does she pray? She ran to the Lord. She cried, have mercy upon me, O Lord. She said, "Help me." That's what it is to pray. Prayer is an act of faith. When these people we read about in the scriptures and when we find ourselves praying to God, here's what we're confessing. "Lord, I can't do anything. Without you, I can do nothing. I'm helpless. I'm needy. And I believe you're able. I believe you and you alone are able to meet my every need." That's what it is to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples said that. Lord, teach us to pray. How often should we pray? It says pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing to pray. Pray whenever you have a need. And we already know this, but for the child of God, that's always. Our pastor stands up here to bring the message and he says, "Pray for me." Does that mean we're supposed to sit there, close our eyes and start praying out loud? No. Pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. As long as we're needy, helpless sinners, we will find ourselves praying. I want to just mention a few things that we should pray for, all right? First, let us pray for faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is crucial. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or we shall not be saved. Lord, give me faith. Increase our faith. It's another thing the disciples pray for often. Lord, increase our faith. We come here desiring, Lord, strengthen us. Increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Lord, cause me to trust you. Cause me to believe you. Cause me to come unto you and rest. Pray for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of all my sin. I'm exceeding sinful. My sins are ever before me. Please forgive me for Christ's sake. And after you pray to be forgiven, pray, Lord, teach me how to forgive others. Poor Peter. Lord, if a brother transgress against me, how many times should I forgive him? 7 times? That's the perfect number, right? Our Lord said, nope. 7 times 70. What he's saying is you can't forgive your brother enough. If we've been forgiven, we'll forgive others. That poor woman I just mentioned that Simon said, don't you know she's a sinner? She sat there crying, washing our Lord. She loved him because he first loved her. She'd been forgiven much, so as a result, she loved much. Pray for that. Pray for the Lord to cause us to likewise love and forgive much. Pray for grace. Today's a new day. I need grace for today. Pray for grace in the midst of your trials. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. And just like our brother Paul, when he was afflicted with that thorn in the flesh, he asked for the Lord to remove it. He said, no, not going to remove it. You need this. This is for your good. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't ever forget that. My grace is sufficient for you. Lord, give me a special portion of your grace. Shed your grace on me. Pray for your brethren. Right here in verse 25 of our text, Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Not just the one who's going to speak and bring the message. We certainly need your prayers, but we all need each other's prayers. I covet your prayers. I'm so thankful that we don't have to go through this life by ourselves. We're one big, happy family. We're the family of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Pray for us. Pray for one another. Pray for the salvation of others. When our Lord told the disciples, pray after this manner, he said, you pray like this, thy kingdom come. Lord, save your people. Save as many today, such as should be saved. Reveal yourself to lost sinners. Show people what they are. Reveal to him who you are and how gracious you are and how you're able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by you. Pray for that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Pray, make your petitions and requests known unto God. But never forget, thy will be done. And don't just say it. I pray that we'll mean it. I may pray for a burden to be lifted, but God may not be pleased to lift it yet. by even our Lord. He took the cup of God's wrath for our sin. He said, if it be possible, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, I pray God would teach us to pray. Teach us to pray for what we ought. Here in our text again, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ and Jesus concerning you. May we give thanks to our God. Again, what is prayer? Giving thanks unto God. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. May God help us. How often should we give thanks unto him? It doesn't matter how bad a day you have. If we know Christ, is there really such a thing as a bad day? Remember, this is the day he made. God purposed for us to believe on him. Is that bad? Oh, no. Every day, in everything, may God enable us to give thanks and praise his holy name. I love this. Psalm 145, verse 1 and 2 says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thee. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. May God help us to praise his name forever and ever. I want to close by giving us a few reasons to give thanks to our great God. Here's the first one. Let us thank him for his grace. People, you go to just about any funeral and they'll sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And then they'll say, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. But the fact is, you just hear what people preach, you hear how people talk, it's obvious they've never been lost. It's obvious they've never been found. It's obvious they don't know we're born blind. We can't give ourselves light. We can't make ourselves see. God has given us life. I once was lost, but Christ came and he found me and he set me free. Thank God for his sovereign grace that reached way down for me. Where would we be had he not? Where would you be? Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, before I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, I persecuted the church. I did all these things. I was more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. I was blameless, touching the law. But then he said, I count all that dung. It's all loss, that I might know Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but his. He said, that's all by the grace of God. He said, by the grace of God, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm less than the least of all saints. I'm nothing. That's grace that teaches us that. Thank God for his grace. Amazing grace. Let's thank him for the gift of eternal life. Our Lord told that Samaritan woman, he said, if you knew, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to you, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He went on to tell her, you're a sinner. Go get your husband. Bring him out here. I don't have a husband. Yeah, but you've had five. And the one you're with now is not your husband. Well, I perceive you're a prophet. How do you know this about me? And then they started talking about religion, and then she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say Jerusalem's the place where men ought to worship. He said, you don't even know what you worship. You know what he was doing was, he was revealing himself to her. He was revealing to her the gift of eternal life. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he'll tell us all things. And right then. I love thinking about this, trying to picture this in my mind. Our Lord looking at her, saying, I am. I. She knew who it was that was talking to her. And she knew eternal life because she now knew him. She went out into that city and she was crying, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And then many people of that city believed because of her saying. And then they came to hear the Lord themselves. And they said, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, because we have heard him ourselves." Just like Peter said, we believe and we're sure that thou art the Christ. What do we deserve? The wages of our sin is eternal death. And yet what has God been pleased to do for us? He's been pleased to give us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's thank him for that. Oh, may we never stop thanking him for that. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's salvation, he became poor to make us rich. He was made sin to make us the righteousness of God in him. May we thank God for him always. Turn back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. God is good. And his mercy endureth forever. It'll always be enough. God's mercy will always be enough for you. It always will. If you will, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As our text says, and everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God. Let's be sure to understand, whatever happens is God's will for us. May he give us grace to trust his will. May he give us grace to trust his perfect will in all things. And may we give thanks that his will is for us to be in Christ Jesus. It says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will is that we're in Christ. Of God are we in Christ, who's made unto us all things. Wisdom, he's all our wisdom. He's all our righteousness. He's all our sanctification and all our redemption. And we glory in him, don't we? Let's thank God for that. Thank God for him. Now here in 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let us thank God for one another. I thank God for you. You're my brother, my sister. God has saved you. Praise God. Praise God. And lastly, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We ought to be thankful. Why? Because we should. God has given us every reason imaginable to be thankful to Him. Now be ye thankful. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing some songs of praise. And when we do, may God enable us to sing unto Him with grace and thanksgiving in our hearts unto Him. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen.